Did Jesus ever resort to violence? You know, fighting in war seems to be something which is commonplace today. Most people wouldn't even give it a second thought that that is what you have to do. Because after all, you have to kill in order to save others, maybe yourself. But is that what Christ taught? Is that what he stood for? Christ, without any doubt, preached against violence. He never committed violence against anyone. In our most recent update, number 805, there's an editorial from which I want to just quote a little bit. We're saying there that Jesus, the coming Prince of Peace, never committed any violence when here on earth, and under his rule, violence shall no longer be heard in your land. God has been commanding repeatedly to abstain from violence. John the Baptist told Roman soldiers not to commit violence against anyone. And Christ told us that we must not even think of committing violence against others, let alone carrying it out. Now, there are scriptural references in the editorial which I omitted right now. But I'd like to talk a little bit today about the history of Veterans Day, because today is Veterans Day, November 11. And Fox News wrote the following on November 10. While those who died are also remembered, Veterans Day is a day set aside to thank and honor all those who served honorably in the military, in wartime or peacetime, the Department of Veterans Affairs says. The roots of Veterans Day go back nearly 100 years. Fighting during World War I stopped on November 1, 1918, due to an armistice between the Germans and the Allies. November 11 was commemorated as Armistice Day by President Woodrow Wilson in 1919. A resolution passed by Congress in 1926, according to the federal agency, called for November 11 to be remembered every year with thanksgiving and prayer and exercises designed to perpetuate peace through goodwill and mutual understanding between nations. In 1938, Armistice Day was officially made a legal public holiday. Now, many American soldiers lost their lives during World War II and the Korean War. In the wake of these wars, Armistice Day was renamed Veterans Day in 1954. In 1968, a bill was passed which called for Veterans Day to be observed on the fourth month in October, starting in 1971. President Gerald Ford signed a bill in 1975 which pushed Veterans Day back to November 11, with the changes taking place in 1978. Ford said in a statement that he felt restoration of the observance of Veterans Day to November 11 will help preserve the hearts and lives of all Americans, the spirit of patriotism, the love of country, and the willingness to serve and sacrifice for the common good symbolized by this very special day. The Washington Post wrote on November 11, the original intent established in the wake of World War I was to celebrate world peace. Then the wars never ended, so Veterans Day changed. But the change from Congress declared purpose of Armistice Day, a day of peace, to President Ford's stated purpose of Veterans Day, remembering war, is both sad and unbiblical. God does not support the futile attempts of man to bring peace through violence and war and by taking human lives. And that brings me to the question of, would it be okay to bring guns to church? Christian Headlines wrote on November 7, across the country, many churches and other places of worship are considering security measures, or as mass shootings have become a tragically familiar narrative in the United States. On Sunday, Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton suggested on Fox News that churchgoers carry concealed weapons. He was echoed by Robert Jeffress of First Baptist Church of Dallas, also on Fox News, who insisted that if a gunman opened fire at his church, they may get one shot off or two shots, but that's it, and that's the last thing they will ever do in this life. That is because as many as half his church members carry concealed weapons into church with them on a given Sunday. Now, the article also quoted Pastor Brady Boy of the New Life Church in Colorado Springs, where a mass shooting had taken place in 2007. I know there's great theological debate about what Jesus would do, he said. I just know we could have very well lost 100 people that day. Boyd believes that didn't happen because there was a former police officer and member of the church security team who was legally carrying a pistol, returned fire, ending the attack. So that's why more and more people advocate bringing guns to church services. What did Christ do? What would he do? Would he advocate that kind of behavior? I'll tell you what Christ did. Christ drove money changers out of the temple. Would he approve of churchgoers bringing concealed weapons to his spiritual temple, the Church of God? In addition, how did he drive out money changers? Did he commit violence against people when he did so? In our booklet, Do You Know the Jesus of the Bible? We say this on page 58. He did not beat the money changers, but used his whip for the animals. The New International Version translates John 2:15 quite accurately. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all of them from the temple area, bulls, sheep, and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. So he didn't whip the people. He took the whip to drive the animals out of the temple. And so then the question we should ask ourselves is, what should we do to protect ourselves? Well, it's easy. Following Christ's example, which means, first of all, praying to God for help and protection. But we need to pray correctly and with faith and conviction, knowing that God hears and expects an answer. In other words, God hears us and we need to expect an answer from God. You see, before Christ resurrected Lazarus from the dead, he said, Father, I know that you always hear me. Christ believed in the power of prayer. And so must we. We read in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 15, I'd like to just quote it for you. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. We all know James 5, verse 16. The fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. But the NIV has the following rendering. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. And the Living Bible says, the earnest prayer of a righteous man has great power and wonderful results. Why am I emphasizing power? Well, because in the Christian world, that is questioned. Here's an article by Christian Headlines, dated November 7. It says, in response to the mass shooting in the Texas church this Sunday that killed 26 people, many Americans are questioning the efficacy of prayer. In other words, the effectiveness of prayer. If praying actually worked, wouldn't the churchgoers still be alive? They speak of prayer as if it has power inherent in itself, that it functions for the sole purpose of summoning certain results. Prayer, however, has nothing to do with controlling events. Prayers themselves are not the answer. In fact, just as gun laws aren't the ultimate answer to this sort of violence, if by answer we mean solution, prayers themselves also are not the answer. Saving power is not in the prayer or the praying person. So let's not turn to prayer as a solution to evil. Now that was published in a Christian paper. How wrong. How completely wrong. With that kind of a prayer, obviously, you're not going to get any answers. There is great power in prayer. Absolutely. And prayer is very much the solution to evil in our lives. And praying to God in faith will prevent us from encountering trials which we are unable to bear. But God wants to see where our heart is. Is our heart in protection through guns, through weapons, through going to war, through defending our country by taking up a gun and shoot and kill? Is that what our trust is in? Don't even think of trusting in guns. Don't have or carry one so that you won't be tempted to use it. Rather, put your sword away. Notice what Christ said in Matthew chapter 26, verses 51 to 53, and I'd like to read now from the New Jerusalem Bible. Very famous scripture. This is when he was being arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. It says, suddenly, one of the followers of Jesus, and of course we know from other passages that was Peter, he grasped his sword and drew it, and he struck the high priest's servant and cut off his ear. And Jesus then said, put your sword back, for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. All who take it will die by it, he said. But he goes on to say, or do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, who would promptly send more than 12 angels, 12 legions of angels, to my defense, for his protection? And so we need to remember, we are in God's hands. God can send us angels for our protection at any time. And if it's not God's will to do so, do you really feel that carrying and using a weapon will help us? Do we really think that a weapon in our hands is more powerful than God? If we do, then we had better think again and let the mind of Christ be in us and allow him who never ever preached or used the sword to fight and to kill, to lead us, so we can follow him.